There is, as we mentioned, much more to say about this. But feel free to insert whatever chatzis pun you'd like. But at least today, we should get to some of the special connections and the references to Shabbos itself, which was, again, a topic that's brought up in the Gemara a little bit ahead of us, Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. So to begin with, just to kind of introduce the topic of Chatzis Shir on Shabbos, the week until now has been an introduction to Chatzis Shir in general. So there is a question to what extent we focus specifically on Achila when we talk about Chatzis Shir, and to what extent this concept is relevant to other areas of Halacha as well. Many of the sugyas, as we've seen, start off in Achila contexts. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's not relevant anywhere else, unless to the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi, and they often quoted Tshuva, quoted as often to disagree with it as to agree with it, maintains that the concept of Chatzis Shir is limited to issues of Achila. This is in Siman Pei Vav. I think I put it on the Marmar Komos, I don't remember exactly. But in any event, if you want to look it up, it's in Siman Pei Vav, where the Chacham Tzvi maintains that this is only relevant to Achila, basically for two reasons. He's talking about the question of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. I think somebody brought that up earlier. There is a question of what is there a shir for Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh? It gets into a lot of psachim discussions, to what extent is that connected to the issur of eating chametz. And if there is a shir, so then, let's say, for example, if we assume that it's a kezayis, so first of all, it's not clear what the significance of a shir would be, because it's not clear if there is an onesh for Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. So if a shir is only relevant to define onesh, so then, if there's no onesh, what's it relevant for? So then, maybe it's relevant to define the iser. So then, if it's relevant to define the iser, then you can't have chatzis shir, because then there'd be no difference. So that's a whole discussion that Shagas Aryeh and others had. Is there a shir for Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh? And if there is there a chatzis shir iser for Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh? So the Chacham Tzvi assumes that there's no iser there, or by other non-achila issues. And he has two svaras that he mentions. One is that maybe kol chelev is dumya de chelev. Chelev is a iser achila, so it has to be specifically an iser achila. The other idea that he mentions is an important idea for all of the Chatzis Shir discussion, is that it is essentially a function of achshaveh. And that's something that we've alluded to in the past, but haven't really drawn out as a major svara within Chatzis Shir. We talked about Chazluz Lestrufe yesterday, so we talked about either that we're afraid you're going to come to finish the Shir, or that the Isser on the whole Shir reflects backwards, reflects on the status of the rest of the Shir, of the parts of the Shir. But the idea that there's an Achshaveh component here, we've alluded to it, agav, some of the other things, but haven't really stressed its role as a key player in the Chatzis Shir discussion. Achshaveh basically saying that even though the halacha doesn't recognize this amount as significant, if you are giving it significance through your actions, you're saying this is something that you're paying attention to, so then that may grant it a certain status, maybe even on a level minat Torah. That's the whole discussion. It's relevant to Yom Kippur in a number of ways, the concept of Achshaveh in general, and the Chacham Tzvi asserts that that's a player here. So if that's the case, says the Chacham Tzvi, so in his context of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, he says it's not really going to play a role, because Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, usually, not necessarily, but usually when it's violated passively. If somebody fails to get rid of his chametz before Pesach, that's why the Rambam says that Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh is treated as a lav shein bo maisa, because even though theoretically you could do a maisa to violate this iser, the general format of violating it is passive. You fail to get rid of the chametz that you have. So therefore, if that's the case, so how could you apply achshaveh here? So a person has half a kezayis of bread under his couch. So by what means did he give that any chashivas? Because he failed to get rid of it? That's actually a lack of chashivas. He didn't pay attention to it. So to say that there's anything that he did that granted this half a kezayis significance doesn't seem to be the case. So that's basically what the Chacham Tzvi maintains. And as we mentioned before, so it's quoted as often to disagree as to agree, because many note that it doesn't seem to be the case, that there are significant sources in Rishonim which seem to at least talk about Chatzishir in other settings. We won't go through all of them. We're interested today in Shabbos, but just to mention some of the ideas that are out there. One is that it's often referenced that in the beginning of Hilchos Geneva and the beginning of Hilchos Gzeila V'Aveda, in both places, when the Rambam talks respectively about the Isser of Geneva and the Isser of Gzeila, so he says that there is a, I don't remember if it was on the list, but you can take a look from the very beginning of both places, says that if you steal a Shavu Pruta, you're mechuyev to return it. But even though you're not mechuyev to return less than a Shavu Pruta, it's still usser to steal less than a Shavu Pruta. And the Magid Mishnah comments over there in both places, yeah, why is that usser? Because chatzishir usser manatar. So he relates to that as a function of chatzishir. It's not the only way to understand what the Rambam is saying, but the Magid Mishnah's understanding puts it in that context. There are other applications. It's often quoted that the Ramban invokes this phrase in arguing on the Rambam. And you have to figure out exactly what the Ramban means. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam asserts that what is commonly known as Negia, and more halachic terminology is known as Chibur Venisha Kreva La'arayos. So the Rambam asserts that this is an Issur Min HaTorah, and there is a chi of Malkus that comes along with it, it's an Isser Lav. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says he doesn't think it's an Isser Daraisa, so he thinks it's an Isser Darabanan. But even if he were to sign on to the Rambam's opinion that it's a Daraisa, so he does not agree that there would be Malkus. He says, in any event, there's no Malkus. First of all, if it's a Darabanan, there's no Malkus. But even if it were a Daraisa, there's no Malkus, and he throws in Chatzishir there. So, there are those who say, oh, okay, here you see Chatzishir applied in a very different kind of context. Yes, sir?
Wait, is he saying that there's no Malkus because it's Chatzishir?
So that's what I want to try to think about for a second. So, the fact that he invokes Chatzishir in that context, so you could say he's saying two chidushim. One is that he's saying Chatzishir in a non-achila context. And two is that it's also a very different type of shir. Like this is talking about a qualitative shear rather than a quantitative shear. There's nothing here that's measurable. He's saying that if you're doing something on the way to an isser and you stop short, that is subject to chatzi shear. So that's often quoted for his significance in that area. One could argue that that's not what the Ramban means. The Ramban is not saying, oh, midin kol chaylev, there's an isser of kreivel arayis. Presumably what the Ramban means is he's saying that, okay, Rambam may be right, this is an Isser Daraisa. But even if it's an Isser Daraisa, I don't think there's Malkus. What, are you going to tell me every Isser Daraisa has Malkus? No, look at Chatzishir. There is a concept where you could have a Isser Daraisa, and or something that is essentially prohibited, Mikoach the Torah, and it falls short of the full-blown picture of what we're talking about, and therefore there is no Onish. So too, it's reasonable to say that even if the Rambam is correct, and that Kreivel Arayos has some offense against the actual Arayos Isser, it doesn't follow necessarily that there would be a Chiyuv Malkus. I think it's possible that's all the Rambam meant, that's all the Ramban meant, but the Ramban is often invoked in the context of this discussion as expanding the parameters of what Chatzishir means. Yes?
I'm just repeating why it's not Chatzishir.
Because I think his intent is that he's trying to say, okay, listen, even if the Rambam is right, that it's a Daraisa, it doesn't necessarily have to follow that it has Malkus. It could be that it's related to the Daraisa in some incomplete way, and therefore it's enough for it to be prohibited, but not necessarily actually have the onish. And how do you know such a thing exists? Look at Chatzishir. Chatzishir is a similar model where the Isser addresses this situation, but not enough to put the onesh on it. And we'll just mention one more example because it's Yom Kippur relevant, so we'll just throw this in. There is a whole discussion that the Tosfos Rishonim in the beginning of the eighth parak of Yuma, the same daf we were looking at in the Chatzi Shir Sugya, so it discusses the fact that the Mishnah allows a melech and a kala to do certain types of bathing, do certain types of rechitza, and the question is discussed. So what's the hetter for that? If this is an issa daraisa, so why is it mutter? Parenthetically, as we alluded to yesterday, it's not necessarily obvious that this is an issa daraisa. It could be the other inuyim or issa darabanan. That was a big machlokus rishonim. But the Tosfos Rishonim asserts that maybe the reason it's mutter is because it's really not an issa daraisa in this case. That maybe the issa daraisa of bathing on Yom Kippur is kol gufo. To bathe everything, that's where you have an issa d'oraisa. So less than that, that's a drabon. So there is a sefer called the Or Gadol. The Or Gadol is a commentary in the Mishnah. It's written by the Minsker Gadol. His name is Rufin Perlman. So he has a commentary on the Mishnah, and he also has a sefer of Chuvis and essays called Or Gadol. So the Or Gadol says, hey, wait a minute, Tosfos Rishonim. Okay, so fine. So it's not the full issa. But maybe it's Chatzishir then, and Chatzishir also in the Torah as well. So that's again an innovative application of the idea of Chatzishir. Again, it's a qualitative rather than a quantitative type of reference. Rav Scheinberg in the Mishmaris Chaim, so he asserts to that effect that maybe no, that's not a kind of Chatzishir that we're talking about, because the point of saying Kol Gufo is the Isser Deraisa is saying that there's a certain tainik that comes from bathing your whole body. And anything less than that, just washing your hands, washing your face, for appearances' sake, that's simply a different concept. That's simply not the same thing as Rechitzas Kol Gufo, and therefore the concept of Chatzishir doesn't really come into play.
You could say that's optional or no?
So you could say it's a significant action, but it's a significant action of a different nature. So yes, it's you're giving it Chashivas, but not towards the end of Rechitzas Kol Gufo, towards the end of washing your hands and your face, which is a different type of end. Hi.
What are we going to do about Tosfos Rishonim seemingly says that there is malchus for Chatzishir?
He considers it. I don't think that's his maskana. Right, in the brackets, in the beginning, he says that it seems like it would come out from Rabbi Yochanan that there should be a separate Isser here that has malchus. And then he goes through the whole story, and I don't think it comes out in that way. But I think his point was that even in an Isser that's not malchus, you know, an Isser Karis or an Isser Misa, the Chatzishir version may have its own status and have malchus. So that itself would be interesting, but still not taking away from the whole shir concept. I'm saying that because when there's a different isser, when there's a different chiyuv, it would still have an onesh of a lower level because of its separate type of status. But again, the maskana, I don't think you can look at it, it's a little bit complicated there, but I don't think that's the maskana over there. But in any event, so again, without fully addressing the whole question of other isserim in the Torah and Chatzishir, those are just some examples that are relevant and specifically relevant to Yom Kippur. But what about Shabbos? So do we assume that since Malachal Shabbos is an area where there are many shirim that are invoked, so do we apply a concept of Chatzishir? So it sounds like from our Gemara, and we'll get to more in a second, that there is such a concept. Although we have to figure out what is the scope of it. The Gemara just says, talking about Borer, which we're not up to yet, but the Gemara talks about various kulas or heterim within Borer, and every time it mentions one, altar and bo bayom, so the Gemara asks, well, how come Borer is so lucky? Do you find this heter by other isurim? So in the context of that, so the Gemara has one, Rav Chisda, Borer v'ochel pachos mikashir, Borer meniach pachos mikashir. So coming off of that line, so the Gemara says, maskev l'Rav Yosef, so what, by a fia, if you're going to bake some bread, but it's a very small amount, it's less than a grover size, it'd be mutter? Is that what you're telling me? Just because it's less than a shir, it's mutter? So it sounds like from the Gemara that there's an Isser Chatzishir by the Malachas of Shabbos. So how widely to apply that, on what level to apply that, is a subject of great debate and very varied effects that you see in Rishonim and Achronim. So there is a Torah's Kohanim, which is a little more explicit about this. I think I copied the text on the list, if I remember correctly. The Torah's Kohanim essentially darshans, it's an Achrimos, Tezayin Chavtes, the Medrash, right? It says, is it there on the list? Okay, the second list? Yeah, the first or the second list?
Second.
Second list not there? Okay.
What was the exact
Chav Tes, sorry, Tezayin Chav Tes. So it says, so maybe this means, maybe this is only the full-blown malacha that actually incurs the punishment of kares. How do you know malacha she'en chayovna le'akares? What about if it's not on that level? Minayin? How do you know? Shol yichtavos echad, shol yareg chut echad, etc. How do you know that you shouldn't write one letter and that you shouldn't do ariga on one thread? Hamalomar malacha v'chol malacha riga. The Medrash has a drasha there that there's also an iser even when it's not full blown, when it's not able to get you kares. Yes, sir. You can point out those examples are funny examples to you.
No, that was a different drasha.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Right. So the significance of this Medrash can go in a couple different directions. On the one hand, it may tell us that indeed there is a Isser Chatzishir by Shabbos. On the other hand, it's only marginally helpful because, or at least in terms of understanding Kol Chelev, because what about the fact that it seeks out its own drasha? So the Chafetz Chaim, in his commentary here, the Chafetz Chaim says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, this is a din min haTorah, and according to Reish Lakish, you have to say this is an Asmachta. But that's only half helpful also, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, why is it necessarily follow that it's a din daraisa? Because it doesn't seem to connect to Rabbi Yochanan's view, because Rabbi Yochanan's view is that Chatzishir is a deraisa for different reasons. So maybe having a drasha of a different pasuk, maybe Davka separates it from Rabbi Yochanan's view. So it's a little bit difficult to know where to go with this medrash. Tavia, did you want to answer that?
I was
going to
say, even, I mean, I guess more in the face of the sign, it there's no reason to assume, you know, right off the bat that the two Chatzishirs are the same. That they're even comparable, especially
two areas of halacha. Two areas of halacha.
Yeah, I'm saying especially once you start calling a second shir, start saying, oh, this shir must be, you know, a smachta, or this a separate drasha. This shir is a smachta, and this is a drasha. It doesn't. I mean,
it's not the only way to read it. Right?
Why would you even feel the necessary that way?
I hear you. So. To say once you're ready saying it's not the actual source, because you're essentially saying that if it's Chatzishir and you didn't call Chelev, then you don't need this as the source, so then it could again be an Asmachta. So it's hard to know how this really fits in with the whole Kol Chelev Makar and why it necessarily connects to Rabbi Yochanan's view at all. Yes, sir.
You could say so you wouldn't have the halachah in that because it's Kol Chelev, it's only applying to foods.
So then you could say, okay, so it extends the drasha of Kol Chelev. Except there's a little bit of Ikar Chasim and Asefer because there's no reference in that context. And I mean, there's really no effort to say that from the source itself. I mean, maybe that might be the case, but we don't have any obvious indication that it's true. The Chalkis Yoav, in his Chuvis, the Chalkis Yoav asserts that this is not diminatory at all. He has different rives because the Medrash there also starts talking about going up on a tree, which is an Issa Drabanan. Mishum Kotzer, that's our next malacha, next time we get up to that. So that seems to say the whole passage is not about the races. And he's got a Tosefta and Beitza, Dalit Beis, which sounds like it's the Drabanan. He talks about it being a Shvus, so he doesn't accept that this is necessarily an indication that there is a Chatzishir min haTorah. But the Rishon, who's extremely explicit, really the most solid explicit source to connect this Gemara to it's daf mate in Yuma, Ayin Dalet in both places, and Ayin Dalet in Yuma, Ayin Dalet in Shabbos. The Rishon, who's really more explicit than anyone else, than any other Amoraitic source or Rishonic source in linking them, is Rashi. Right, Rashi over here, v'chimut l'afos pachos mikashir. So Rashi says, nihi d'chi of chatis leka. Okay, fine. So you're not chayiv chatis for baking less than a shir. Yisura mihayika. There is an iser. Okay, so far so good. And then he goes on to really hammer the point home. Dekai malan chatzishir asim and atorah per pasvut yuma veheichik sani baruch lechachila. So therefore, how can the Gemara say you could be borer in light of yuma dafayin daladam and alif? So this is really out of all the sources you're going to find, I think, the most explicit connection between malach Shabbos b'chatzishir and the chatzishir we've been talking about this week. And at least on Rashi's own authority, this Rashi is often quoted as a challenge to the Chacham Tzvi. Seems like it's very much at odds with what the Chacham Tzvi is saying. There are other references in Rishonim. There's a Rashbam and Bava Basra, which we'll talk about a little bit more on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. I did put this on the list, I'm pretty sure. The Rashbam says that a lack of shir is, in the context of Melech HaShabbos, it's an issue of Melech HaMachshavos. We mentioned it earlier in the year, but it's on the list as well. That now, what's the implication of that? Does that mean that it's an Issur D'oraisa? Probably doesn't mean that it's an Issur D'oraisa. And often, if there's no Melech HaMachshavos, it's not awesome in HaTorah. So, what exactly is the scope of that Rashbam? We'll have to see. And there's a lot written about that Rashbam. But just as far as part of the equation, that's what he asserts, that the shir connects to Melechus Machshavas, and if you're lacking a shir, then you're lacking in Machshavas. There are other Rishonim who are less explicit, but seem to say differently. If you look at the Ramban, and his Chidushim, and Saridalat and Beis, so the Ramban has, in the context of other things, he talks about carrying less than a shir outside, and it seems from his language like it's a Drabban. Ran sounds like that also. So there are other Rishonim who seem to say differently, that there is an Isser Chatzi Shir by Shabbos, but it's not Minat Torah, it's the Rabbanan. So apparently it's neither Rabbi Yochanan's Chatzi Shir, nor is the Medrash telling us, the Torah Skaranim telling us that it is a Chatzi Shir Minat Torah. That was the view that Rabbi Zalman takes in the Evan HaEzel. It's an Aleph Gimel in Hilchos Shabbos, that there is an Isser Rabbanan of Chatzi Shir by Melech Shabbos. Happens to be that Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach has a tshuva about this in the Mincha Shlomo, that's in Chelek Beis and Simen Chav Hei, and he says that yes, there's a machlokus about this, but he feels the consensus of the poskim is that Chatzi Shir on Shabbos is an Isser D'oraisa. So it's somewhat of a debate. There are those who argue, but maybe, and you may not feel this is necessarily such a spear, partially because of things we've talked about already, but that maybe there's a steer in Rashi's. We just hailed Rashi as the hero of Chatzi Shir by Shabbos, the one who's most explicitly connecting it to the Yuma Sugya. So there are those who say, well, how does that stem with Rashi and Gimel Amud Aleph? That the Rashi and Gimel Amud Aleph in the Hotzah Sugyas, so Dibra Maschel Peture, so we know that the action of Hotzah, the action of carrying, requires akira and hanacha, has to be picked up and put down. So Rashi over there, at the beginning of that Dibur Maschil, says kigon akiros shehi tchilas hamalacha. So akira by itself is the beginning of the malacha. De'ika lemigzar dilma gamala. That maybe there should be an iser, which sounds like he's saying an iser rabbana. Right, we should make a gzera. So it's been pointed out, there are many approaches you can take, which I think you're already noting that you don't see them in the same category, but there's much discussion. So is this Rashi saying that in the context of Melech HaSotzar, that there is a Drabbanan of Chatzi Shir and apparently not a Doraisa? So there are those who say, well, Hotzah, Melech HaGeruah, right? The Shuvas Ginze Yosef is written by Yosef Schwartz, who was known as an editor of many Torah journals, as well as the author of many Zon Svar. So he says, okay, Melech HaGeruah, that's why Rashi says something different there than he says here. Others say, okay, yeah, the Sfas Emes in his commentary over there says, yeah, you see, there's the Chacham Tzvi. Doesn't apply by non-Achila thing, so Rashi is talking about being a Drabbanan. But many others, as you probably already guessed, take a different approach.
You can say that by Shabbos, the Chatzi Shir, even on the rest levels, a form of siyag. And then by achila, it could either be a form of siyag, or discuss, or could be any of the other options. You don't have to be the
could have more. It could have a combination of added elements. That's definitely a possibility.
They don't have the same start.
Right.
You have Chatzi Shir and Shabbos Doraisa, and that's about finishing the malacha, and you have Chatzi Shir by achila, because it's achila sechepsa, or whatever you want to choose. They don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Right, that's for sure true, and we've seen a little bit of that, but here it seems like he's saying not only that it's a different svar, but that it's a drabbanan by talking about ikul migzar.
So it could be ikul migzar and deraisa, he's talking about
gzera. Well, it could be a siyag, we said there's a siyag deraisa, but the language of gzera, which when we're talking about drabbanan, is sometimes interchangeable with siyag. we're talking about Daraisa, it's not interchangeable because Gzeira does connote that, except in the phrase Gzeira Sakasav, but Gzeira does connote that the Chazal are imposing it. So it sounds like it's a Darabanan. But there is another distinction that we've already alluded to. I don't know who's up first here.
Oh, I was going to say that Hutsa is different than Afiya because Hutsa requires two separate actions.
Mm-hmm.
One is Akira and one is Anach. But Afiya, when you put it in the oven, you've already started. Meaning it's the same action, just continuing.
Okay, that's probably along the lines of what you wanted to say, Jonathan. So that's a valid point, but also just a little bit, perhaps maybe a little bit easier to hold on to, that the Meiri already comments on this, and a lot of Achronim say something similar. Again, this is this is often the case with the Meiri, right? The Meiri was the first Achron. He was saying svaras that the later Achronim said, not knowing that he said them first, because the Meiri was unavailable for so many hundreds of years. But many of the Achronish svaras turn up in the Meiri. So the Meiri asserts that there's a difference between these two cases, that, or at least in terms of interpreting this case, that this case is not a case of Chatzi Shir. If you want to talk about Chatzi Shir by Hotza, so we don't have to say that Melacha Gerua is different. You can say that there's two different ways you could talk about Chatzi Shir by Hotza. You could take an item that's too small and carry it outside. That would be Chatzi Shir. Or you could do half an action. And that's essentially what's going on here. This is called a Chatzi Melacha rather than a Chatzi Shir, which is something we talked about a little bit in the beginning of the year. We'll come back to this just to Chazaret. We talked about this Tosus on the Mishnah of Ha'os, the Shnei Batei Nirin. So we invoke that idea there as well, that there is perhaps a distinction to be made, that it's one thing to say, okay, there's a lack of shear. It's another thing to say that the malacha itself is flawed because you don't have a complete action. There's a discussion about this in the Machtza Shekel. Sorry? Right, so that there are certain things you can do that not only take away from the significance, but take away from the action itself. So there's an interesting discussion. The Machtza Shekel in one place talks about a Chavos Yair, and he wants to say that if you have a fish, a live fish in a cup, and you want to switch it from one cup to the other, take the fish out of one cup of water, put it in the other cup of water, that maybe that's an issue, because if you take a fish out of water, you're basically killing it. So if you're going to put it back in another water, so it's not going to die, but it's dying until you bring it back to life. So maybe that's a Chatz Yishir. And Marashag disagrees. Marashag says, no, that's not the Chatz Yishir. You haven't done the malacha yet. Until it's dead, you haven't done the malacha. There's no such concept that's going to apply when you're on the way to the malacha.
So that's different than having less than the Kazai's food.
The point is that you're doing the action, but you're doing the action on a less than significant amount. So if the Isser is eating something, then you're eating it, you're just not eating enough for us to nail you for. But here, you're not killing something smaller. Somehow, if you could imagine there was a shear of the size of the fish, that has to be significant, so then killing a small fish would be, at least here, that was a relevant example, that would be closer to what we're talking about. But half killing the fish without killing it, that's his argument, is not any different than simply not doing the malacha.
In the case of the Rambam or Ramban, it would also be more like it's not like necessarily eating the kazai, it would be more like.
It's comparable to that, right? It's comparable to what the Ramban was talking about in terms of Kravel Arayis, correct. So there is a very important discussion about this and an important Sefer. Sefer definitely should know about it if you're learning Shabbos. More relevant. We learned the first parak of Shabbos, but it's relevant to all of Shabbos. Rav Shechter has emphasized in the Shirim that Rav Soloveitchik was a big, had much appreciation for the Sefer also, even though it was a 20th century Sefer. Rav Menachem Zembo, whose name we mentioned yesterday, Rav Menachem Zembo was a massive, massive Gaon who was lost in the Warsaw Ghetto. And in addition, Ruba the Ruba of his writings were lost. So we have very little left of his really mind-blowing writings. We have correspondences between him and the Or Sameach son-in-law, who also died young. We have there is a collected volume of Chiddush of Menachem Zembo you can find in the library, but perhaps his most quoted work is the Sefer Tosfos Chaim, which is on Shabbos, and is only, as they maintain, a very small fraction, Chatzi Shir, so to speak, of what he actually wrote on Shabbos. And that the Ruba of his Chiddushim were to our great chagrin, lost. But the Sefer Totzes Chaim is officially on the first parak of Shabbos. And but he certainly has a lot of yesodistic things about malachas and other things relevant to the other parakim. So he has a discussion about this idea, it's worth reading, where he says something interesting, and it draws on not only on the sugi we're doing now, but on the other sugi we did recently, on the Zoraya sugi. And he makes the following point. So he's concerned about the Rashbam. The Rashbam in Bava Basra that says that the Chisar or the Malach is Machshevas. So he starts off with the question that if that's the case, says, if we're going to assert the distinction that we just said, the Meiri and others maintain, that a Chatzi Shir is one thing, that's an Asr, that's an Isra Deraisa, but a Chatzi Malacha, that's nothing, or maybe it's Asr Midrabanan. So then, maybe that's a problem, because maybe that's a distinction that doesn't really work. Because maybe Chatzi Shir on Shabbos should always be Drabanan. Because if we're lacking in Malachas Machshavas, shouldn't that knock the malacha down to a chatzi malacha status, and therefore already blur any distinction between the two different models that we're talking about? So he wants to assert, in a fascinating way, it's a little bit debatable, that this is a machlokus between Rashi and the Rambam. And he notes that while Rashi on Ayin Dalet clearly references a model of an Isser D'Oraisa of Chatzi Shir, and we could explain the distinction between Daf Gimel and Daf Ayin Dalet by saying one's a Chatzi Shir, that's Isser Minat Torah, the other is Chatzi Malacha, that's not Asser Minat Torah. But how do you deal with the Rambam? Because the Rambam, Hilchos Shabbos, I'm pretty sure I put this on the list, it's Yud Beis Tes, so the Rambam groups the two together. The Rambam clearly says that half an act of carrying and carrying a small amount are in the same category. Apparently both the Rabbanim. So what do you do with that? So he suggests in a fascinating way that this is Lishitasam in the Machlokas that we saw about Zoraya. I wanted to talk about it then, but I figured we'd wait till we had this context to discuss it. That we saw that there was a machlokas in terms of the toldos of Zoraya. Now, what counts as a av and what counts as a toldo? So if you remember, so Rashi had identified all of the malachos in the Zoraya family as avos, with one exception. What was that? Zomer. And what was the Rambam's opinion? They're all avos. So what's going on over there? So you know, we discussed at the time, so he asserts that for the Rambam, all you need to make Av status is a connection in function, which he understands as a connection in Machshava. So if you share the Machshava enough, so then you are the full-blown Malacha D'Oraisa. While for Rashi, that's not exactly true. Rashi, for it to be an Av, apparently you need a combination of Machshava and the act. And when it comes to Zomer, since Zomer is so different in form from the Malacha, as he and others mentioned, because of it taking the opposite type of action, everything else is about putting something into the ground, this is about taking something out of the ground, therefore Zomer is not going to make the cut. It is a Tolva, again, no pun intended, is a Tolva. So he wants to suggest that there is a parallel going on here, there's a little shitasim going on here. That according to the Rambam, Machshava defines the Malacha. While according to Rashi, it's more of a partnership between a Maisa and a Machshava. And therefore, if we assume that everyone agrees to the Rashbam's Yisod, that Malachas Machsheves is lacking if there's no Shir. But if we all agree to that, so then what happens in the absence of the Machsheves that is bestowed by the Shir? According to the Rambam, the whole thing is undercut. Lacking the Malachas Machsheves, it's no longer a Doraisa at all, because that's a fundamental definitional point of the Malacha, so now it's knocked down toward the Rabbanan. So therefore, according to him, there's no difference, according to his understanding of the Rambam, based on what the Rambam says, there's no difference between a malacha that doesn't have a full shear and a chatzi malacha. They're both fundamentally flawed malachas. While according to Rashi, just to finish it off, according to Rashi, there are two parts to the equation. There is the action and there is the accompanying machshava. So if we're losing the machshava because we lost the machshava's component from the shear, okay, so that doesn't have the chashivas, it's not a shear, it's a chatzi shear, but the malacha can still stand as a malacha. It can be a malacha without a shear, chatzi shear, asum min ha-Torah. Now, one can question that. One thing we'll have to discuss after Yontif, when we get into malacha shen tzricha l'gufa, we have to figure out how and if this correlates with the Rambam's view where he often downplays machshava in the sense that malacha shen tzricha l'gufa, according to the Rambam, is chayv. So we'll have to see how this works, if it works. But also, one can challenge whether or not it's the same usage. And malachas machshavas and machshava, meaning the intent of the malacha, they both have the word machshava in them, but it's not clear what exactly is the connotation of malachas machshavas. Malachas machshavas is a unique term which seems to include a lot of different aspects of intent, of purposefulness, of significance, and we have to figure out exactly what that term means to connote. So they both have the word machshava in them, but whether or not that's enough to make this sushtal, we'll have to figure out, but that's a fascinating suggestion that Rav Nachum Zemba wants to make, that there is essentially this correlation, that for the Rambam, machshava is very significant, so it's enough by itself to turn something into an av, and the lack of machshava is enough to knock it down to a drabana. In this case, lack of machshava is because of the absence of a shir. Well, according to Rashi, it's a partnership between an action and a machshava, and therefore you need both to have an av, and the flip side, losing the machshava doesn't take it out of malacha completely, may still leave it as an Isser Doraisa of Chati Shir. If you want to take a look, and the Sefer is available on HebrewBooks.org, it's certainly worth downloading. I have a copy of it. Again, it's a Sefer, as Rav Schechter emphasized, that Rav Soloveitchik valued very much. He has, if you want to look at the whole piece, it's Simen Ches, and he goes on to spend a lot of time on the Rashbam. What exactly is the significance of the Rashbam? How exactly does it interact with other views in the Rishonim? A lot of it is about this Rashbam, that a lack of shear affects the Machshavas component. Again, it is worthwhile reading. Jonathan?
Oh, I don't understand, though, according to that understanding of the Rambam, that it brings it down to a Tolda, Tolda still Daraisa, though.
Correct. So I don't think that's necessarily how it has to follow. He's saying that two things. One, although the point is well taken, I mean, it's something I have to figure out, but I think what he's saying is that a Machshava by itself can turn something into an Av Malacha. So that shows a tremendous weight on machshava. Right? And B, if that's the case, so then apparently the definition of a malacha as a malacha is hugely based upon its machshava. And that if machshava is lost, it's already flawed in a definitional sense. So if we're asserting that there's a difference between a definitional problem and a situation where the definition is there but the quantity is lacking, so then maybe if quantity is a machshava issue, putting all the parts together, then it relates according to Rambam. Again, I think you could maybe argue on some of those sushtels and whether now we're appropriately comparing machshava and machshavas as the same function, something worth thinking about, but it's an interesting position. We mentioned when we talked about Tosus, it's worth remembering about, Tosus and Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, which we didn't have the full context explained, but we discussed it in the context of our Mishnah. So Tosus says, Tzarech lafarish lama piresh kan uva'orek v'tzeya v'tofer v'kosev shir tfei mi'bashar. Why do some malachos have their shir mentioned in the Mishnah and other malachos don't? And no, he didn't answer the question. We mentioned for 600 years, seems like nobody addressed this question until the Magen Avos and many others who asserted a chiluk that the other shiurim that are not mentioned in the Mishnah are shiurim of significance. If you don't have them, the action is not significant, but it's still that action. While these shiurim are definitional. If you don't have these shiurim, then you are missing something fundamental in the malacha itself, and it's not even a malacha. Does that mean it's mutter? Unclear. Many assumed it means it's asa midrabanan. We got to that whole discussion at the time. And we mentioned that the Avnei Nezer in a tshuva says that because of the idea of malachas machsheves, it means that there's two components to every malacha. It has to be a malacha, and it has to be machsheves. So normally, if you're lacking a shir, like the Rashbam says, that's a lack in chashivus, that's a lack in machsheves. So normal absence of a shir means it's a malacha, it's not a malachas machsheves. While these things that the Tosfos identifies, that's the lack in malacha. The malacha is simply not applicable if you're missing this fundamental definitional issue. So that's an issue we talked about then, which draws upon a lot of this discussion. You have to figure out how this works with the Torah's Kohanim, because the Torah's Kohanim, unfortunately, gives us inconvenient examples, because it gives examples of Kosev and Orig specifically, which are these very malachos that, according to this approach, would not be susceptible to Chatzishim and HaTorah. One could perhaps argue that that's how you could reconcile everything. So the question of why does that Torah's Kohanim need a different source other than Kol Chelev Chazlet Strufe? So it could be because it's talking about a different type of Chatzishir, that maybe carrying less than a grogris, cooking less than a grogris, that's a Kol Chelev type of Chatzishir. And the Torah's Kohanim is introducing a Isser even in the context of a Chatzim Malacha, essentially. Then again, we saw a debate about whether that Torah's Kohanim means it on a level Minat Torah or a level Midrabanan. I'll just mention a few more points relevant to this and then we'll let you go. There is also a fascinating tshuva of the Klausenberger Rebbe. The tshuva is Divrei Yatziv. So he has a discussion about this Gemara and Dafayim Dalit, which also touches upon some of the Yesodos that we've seen so far. And first of all, he suggests that the Chacham Tzvi does not have to be worried about this Rashi and Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. He says it's not necessarily a contradiction. He says that it's significant that the malacha that is identified here is specifically a malacha that picks on food. That when the Chacham Tzvi says it's all about achila, so too when we talk about malachos, it's specifically a malacha that's about food that is identified as the context of Chatzishir, Afia. And he even suggests that there's a difference between Afia and Bishul, that the other cases the Gemara talks about, when it's questioning the heterim of Borer, so the Gemara says, oh, v'chimotul avashel, v'chimotul afos, is it mutter in those malachos, those half of one malach, however you want to talk about the relationship, but when it talks about pachos mikashir, it just says, v'chimotul laafos, pachos mikashir. It doesn't mention Bishul. Why not? So it says the Klausenberger Rebbe, because Bishul is also about food, but theoretically could be done to other things also. While Afia is only done to food, and therefore the Gemara specifically invokes a word that is only food relevant. Is that what you want to say?
Yeah, right. Specifically for Rashi.
Right, exactly, right. So it goes, that's what the Klausenberger Rebbe wants to suggest, that maybe this is somehow consistent with the Chacham Tzvi. Then he goes on also to say, and this is consistent with something we mentioned yesterday, that perhaps also the whole idea of Chazal Tzrufe, so in terms of the Medrash Torah's Kohanim that we're talking about, the difference between Kosev, one letter, and other types of Shiurim, is that's talking about a Chazal Tzrufe type of Sfar. And that this is talking about a Kol Chelev type of Sfar. So Kol Chelev is about Achila, so our Gemara focuses specifically on Afia. While Chazalit Strufe could be about other things, we saw that itself is a little bit of a question, but Chazalit Strufe, we mentioned the suggestion based on the words of the Rambam through the Avnei Nezer, that maybe Chazalit Strufe requires a 50% shear. Because maybe the Chazalit Strufe concern is only there when it's an action of equal chashivas to the other half. So maybe we need an example, suggests the Klausenberger Rebbe, like writing one letter, because that writing one letter is an objective half. If we talked about a different type of shear, we talked about cooking a small amount, it wouldn't be clear that we're talking about at least 50% of the shear. But we talk about writing one out of two letters, so that's an objective 50%. He suggests that's what that medrash is trying to get at. It's talking about a chazilit strufe consideration. Just mention one or two other points about this. So there is a fascinating suggestion some Achronim have, among them the Kajug Lava Rebbe, who we've mentioned in the past, a student of the Avnei Nezer. So the Kajug Lava Rebbe suggests that he thinks that even to the extent that there is an Isser Chatzi Shir on Shabbos, it would not apply in a situation of psikration. that a psik reisha issue would not be relevant if the case at hand is only a chatzi shir. Why should that be? Think about that for a second. Why should we say that combining psik reisha and chatzi shir doesn't get us all the way to the finish line? Yes?
You'd have to understand the svara of psik reisha.
So you're saying we're not up to that yet. After Yatif, we'll talk about that.
No, I'm saying you say that if psik reisha is, you know, like for example, by Malchash and Sikhu Guth, right? So seemingly there's some lack of kavana in regards to Malchash. So if you're going to say that psik reisha causes that you're going to have kavana to do a definite kavana for whatever that malacha is, so this isn't a malacha. So you're not really doing a malacha yet. So even though it's psik reisha, you know, and then it, therefore there's that separation in the action. The psik reisha won't get you into a full malacha, so therefore it would be okay.
That could be. That's one approach. The approach that the Kajav Lever takes, the Tshuva Seret Tzvi, I don't think this is exactly what you're saying. I think it's a different approach, that this really goes back to the Chacham Tzvi. That the Eret Tzvi and the Chacham Tzvi, no relation, essentially will work off the same yesod, that what is it that makes Chatzi Shir work? Achshuvei, Chashivas. So in order for Achshuvei to be at play, you have to be doing something intentionally. And the whole point of psik reisha is you're not trying to do that, it's happening as a consequence of something else. So therefore he suggests those two concepts are essentially incompatible. You can't say that, okay, I can say that on Shabbos, if you do a full malacha through psik reisha, you're liable for that, even though that's not what you wanted to do. But we can't say that your action gave significance, even though you didn't want to be doing that action. So the action is only significant if it's something you chose to do. The way, parenthetically, that's why it's a big svar in terms of Yom Kippur, just to throw in a Yom Kippur point. So the whole discussion, if you take medicine on Yom Kippur, or if you take medicine on Pesach, that is chametz related, so the whole discussion of medicine is normally not food, it's not roi la'achila, so shouldn't be asur min haTorah. But the question is there an isur of achshuvei? The Shagasayi talks about, based on the rush, that if you're choosing to eat something, so then it should be achshuvei. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, no, Ashuvei is when you choose to do something. But medicine that you have to take, so you're not choosing to take it, your doctor tells you you have to take it. So you're not saying, oh, I like this food, that's why I'm choosing to eat it. You're saying you're eating it because you have to eat it. So therefore, if you're compelled to do something, that's not Ashuvei. So too, here, if you're not doing it on purpose at all, it's happening as an unintentional consequence, so then that's lacking in the chashivas, and that's not going to be... that's not going to be Chatzi Shir. And it's not going to be a problem with Chatzi Shir. We also just mentioned that the Lecha Mishnah has a statement, if you want to look it up, it's Chaf Aleph Aleph. I don't think I remember to put this on the list. But in Hilcha Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Aleph, the Lecha Mishnah asserts that even if one were to maintain that one is not in violation of the Losa, say, of Shabbos through a Chatzi Shir, it's not a violation of Losas, the Kol Malacha, says nonetheless, it is a bitul of Shabbosom. It is a bitul of the Asay of Shabbos. On that note, I was asked to just say a few words about Yom Kippur, so we won't keep you long, it's very late, just say a word about the interaction of Shabbos and Yom Kippur, which we talked about from a halachic perspective on Sunday. So it's something that's worth a lot of attention, and you should think about it this Yom Kippur, about to what extent the themes of Shabbos and Yom Kippur inform each other. There's a Torah's comment about that that's also very striking that the Kli Chemda and others talk about, that talks about a halachic derivation that there's no eating on Yom Kippur, which is Shabbos Shabbosom. And Medrash says, so Yochel Shabbos Bereishis Nami. So you might think that that also applies to Shabbos Bereishis, which does not mean what we call Shabbos Bereishis nowadays, the Shabbos in which we read Parshas Bereishis. But Shabbos, in distinction to Shabbos Shabbosom of Yom Kippur, the Shabbos of creation of the world, in other words, a normal Shabbos. So that the Medrash has a havamina that you shouldn't be allowed to eat on Shabbos, that it should have a status like a Yom Kippur, and only refutes that through Psukim. So there is a lot of written, there's a lot of the literature about that, the Kli Chemda and others. Gedal Yeshur in his Sefer has a lengthy discussion about this, Sefer Gedal Yo, about what exactly is the significance of that Medrash, stating a really fundamental core relationship between an average Shabbos and the Yom Kippur Shabbos Shabbosom. But in any event, Shabbos is a day which is associated with tshuva. I think we alluded to the fact that that's why minig is among Ashkenazim to begin slichos and amotzi Shabbos in an atmosphere of tshuva. And the Medrash, I forgot whether we talked about this or not, But the Medrash has a surprising statement about Kayin, that Adam HaRishon met up with Kayin after he was Nigla, after he killed Hevel. And Adam said, "So what's been with you recently?" And Hevel said, Kayin said, "Asisi tshuva v'nest pasharti imkoni. I have done tshuva and I have reconciled with my Creator. I'm back on good terms with the Ribono Shel." So Adam's response was, "Mizmor shir liyom haShabbos." It's an amazing thing. Shabbos is fantastic. Seems a little irrelevant. Okay, so he said, "I did tshuva. I'm back in good graces." Okay, mizmor shir liyom haShabbos. What does that got to do with anything? So there's much discussion about that. The Rashiv of Karen Biat, the Chachamim Lebracha of Golvecht, suggested that this is relevant to a comment the Beis Halevi has. This all ties into the things we've been talking about. And we talked about Tosefta Shabbos, so we mentioned that Chazal in a number of places talks about why it is that the Torah implies that a Kadosh Baruch Hu finished creating the world on the seventh day, when our understanding has been that he created the world in 6 days and didn't work on the seventh day. So we talked about how that's relevant to Tosefta Shabbos buffer zone. Elsewhere, Chazal gave a different answer, that it's about the creation of Menucha. A third answer that you find in Chazal is that it's comparable to a blacksmith. A blacksmith pounds on his anvil, but in order to do that, he lifts up his hand first, and then pounds down. And if he didn't do that, if he could hit this way, it's not going to have much force. It only has force because he lifts up and it's down. So this malacha of Shabbos is like the lifting up. What does that mean? So the Beis Halevi suggests that what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly still creating the world after the initial creation. The world is constantly recreating itself. And that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the world to continue actively, it wasn't going to continue. So it's not exactly the case that he's not continuing to create the world on Shabbos and at any moment since the 6 days of creation. So that there were 6 days of active new creation. And then the internal, hidden from the eye, recreation that continues on Shabbos. And that's really what Shabbos is about for us. Shabbos is about internal recreation. It's about stepping aside from acting on the world and working internally, not externally. And that, of course, is what Tshuva is about. Tshuva is a completely internal process, which is why we discussed recently the idea, we talked about a little bit Parshas Nitzavim and Parshas Kisavo, that the idea of focusing on Vidui as the instrument of tshuva, why the Rambam says that tshuva is a vidui. A person wants to do tshuva, then he should be misvada, and everyone talks about, what happens, is he saying there's no mitzvah of tshuva, and Rav Soloveitchik felt that was impossible. It's clear there is a mitzvah of tshuva, and we noted that, as the Rav had said, that tshuva is an internal process, and therefore you need an action in order to point to and say, this is the action we do to provoke tshuva. And Rav Cook in his Aris HaTshuva, was recently translated, Rav Cook opens up by saying that tshuva is both the easiest and the hardest mitzvah. It's the easiest mitzvah because it can be done by machshava, it can be done in a second. Right? We know the Gemara has the famous case. Somebody is Mekadish and Isha, Amanashu Tzadik, even if he's known to be a Rasha Gomer, it's at least a Safek Kedushin. Why is there a Safek Kedushin if it's clear that he's a Rasha Gomer? Because maybe in that second he was Maharim in tshuva. It sounds like tshuva can be done lightning fast. It can be done very quickly. And yet, so I mean, from one perspective, it's the easiest mitzvah in the Torah. It could theoretically take the least time and external resources. And yet, it's also the hardest mitzvah in the Torah. For many reasons. Hard psychologically, clearly. Hard behaviorally, clearly. But also just in terms of nailing it down. If you were to ask somebody, if you ask somebody when we come back in 2 weeks, if you ask somebody, said, did you fulfill the mitzvah of shofar on Rosh Hashanah? They'll probably be able to tell you, probably yes, and if not, they'll know that too. If you ask them, did you sit in the sukkah, did you take a lulav? Well, they could answer the question. If you ask somebody, so, did you do tshuva? What will they say? Hope so. Tried. Did my best. It's not something you can point to success and say, okay, I did a good job. It's all internal. So it's very much of a kind with Shabbos. Shabbos is this internal process, is this time of recreation. And that's a theme that is inherent in every Shabbos, and that's brought out specifically when Shabbos overlaps with Yom Kippur. It's a time when we really are relevant, it's very really cognizant of this relationship. We also mentioned, just to add this one idea, this recurring theme of Tshuva Me'av and Tshuva Me'ira, that there is a basic level of Tshuva Me'ira where we run away from our mistakes, so to speak, and we are given a clean slate. And the Gemara tells us about the higher level of Tshuva and Tshuva Me'ava, which involves a total flipping, that the Averis are not only wiped clean, but they're actually turned into mitzvahs. So there are many different explanations why that should be. We spoke a few weeks ago about Talmud Torah being a part of that process. Rav Soloveitchik commented about the nature of why you have that distinction. Is that the idea that Tshuva Me'ira is about saying, I just want to forget about the past, I just want to run away from what I've been till now, I want to just move on. So okay, so then you get what you want. Kadosh Baruch Hu says you have a clean slate, it's not held against you, it's not held for you, it's nothing. You can start a fresh page tomorrow. While Tshuva Me'ava is a more proactive process, you're essentially saying that I've made some mistakes and I want to fix those mistakes, I want to separate myself from the bad part of those mistakes, but it's not like nothing. It's something that I can use to go further. It's something that I can propel myself with greater energy into the future in a positive way, because I can learn from what I did wrong and I can grow based on that experience, and I can become an even better person in the future because of what I've learned through this process. So then, okay, so then the averos become part of the ingredients of your future mitzvos, and therefore it makes sense that now it's all converted onto the good team, and the averos are not only wiped clean, but they're actually credited as mitzvos, which is an important idea. I also saw a fascinating suggestion in the Sefer Shari Ora, which is written by Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman as the son-in-law of Rav Shach. So the Shari Ora suggests that this idea that we're credited as mitzvos with Tshuva Me'ava, he suggests that it's essentially midah keneged midah, that it's a proportionate reward, because there are two different attitudes a person can take, not just his averos, but to his mitzvos. You think about, let's say, the positive things a person does. So that could also be motivated, theoretically, by Yira or by Ava. So if a person is just looking to do mitzvos because of Yira, so when he fulfills a mitzvah, okay, so he's done, he moves on. He knows he's not going to get punished for the bitul mitzvah. Okay, he can move on to the next one. But somebody who's motivated by Ava, somebody who's really looking to develop a meaningful, powerful, nuanced, and sophisticated relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he's not going to say, okay, I did the mitzvah, I'm done. But he's going to think about, all right, now how could I have done that mitzvah better? What can I learn from the experience? So in other words, when a person does something wrong, a person fails, so then, okay, he's pushed to try to understand, to try to analyze what could he do differently. But when a person succeeds, it's not usually the case that he's going to think about how can he learn from that experience. I succeeded, I can move on. So the person who's motivated by Ava is actually going to take it a step further. He's going to say, okay, so now that I did well, how can I do better? Not only how can I learn from my mistakes, but how can I learn from my successes as well? So that's what the Shari Ora wants to suggest, that somebody who treats his mitzvos like averos, meaning that he tries to learn from his averos, he also tries to learn from his mitzvos. So midah keneged midah, Kadosh Baruch Hu treats his averos like mitzvos. So everything is a growth experience, everything is something that's useful towards propelling him further in the future. It's all counted as such. I think these are powerful messages to keep in mind as we approach Yom Kippur and approach Sukkot. Sukkot is also a time of tshuva, and many of the Bali Machshavas suggested that the really Yom Kippur is a time of Yira, and Sukkot with its active mitzvos is a time of Tshuva Me'ava. So my oldest daughter was born in Erev Sukkot, so we gave her the middle name of Ahuva in honor of that idea, that Sukkot is a time of Tshuva Me'ava, and that it all culminates in Hoshana Rabbah when we complete these two parallel times, the Shlosh Regalim and also the season of Tshuva, and that that is the imagery that is present in that day that we seek to fully actualize. So we'll just to quickly chazer what we spoke about, and we'll let you go. So we talked about some more ideas in Chatz Yishir. We talked about the Chacham Tzvi's assertion that it's only relevant to Achila because that's Kol Chelav, and that's where you have Chashivas, in contrast with what he was talking about Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh, and that's his position. Many disagree, pointing to Rashi over here, pointing to the Magen Mishnah by Gzela, Aveda, and Geneva, pointing to other such sources. We talked about the Ramban and his apparent reference to a qualitative Chatz Yishir by Kregel Arayas, where he suggested it's not necessarily what he's trying to get at. We talked about the Tos Tashan relevant to Yom Kippur about Rechitzas, part of your goof, is that a chatzis shir or not? We mentioned Rav Scheinberg and others that not necessarily the case. And then we talked about trying to figure out what's the story when it comes to Shabbos, that the Gemara makes reference here to a iser chatzis shir by Afia, not clear whether that's the Reis or the Rabbanan or everything. And Taurus Konim makes a reference to a drasha about the malacha that you're not chayav karis for, writing one letter and the like. We saw that there was a range of opinions about whether that's the Reis of the Rabbanan. Rashi over here most explicitly linking the sugya with Yuma Daf Ayin Gimel and Ayin Dalet about Rabbi Yochanan's view chatzis shir asur min haTorah. The Ramban giving you the impression that it's the Rabbanan. The Aben Ezel taking that view, the Mincha Shlomo saying that the consensus among poskim is that Sederaisa, Rashi on Daf Gimel suggesting that a kiruv that hanacha is subject to a gzeira rather than a Sederaisa. Is that a steer or not? Some saying Blacha Gerua is a play, some saying that the Chacham Tzvi is Achila issue was a play there, and others saying like the Meiri that no, there's a distinction to be made between a chatzi shir and a chatzi malacha. We talked about Rav Nachum Zemba's question of how does that work if through the Rashbam's idea of leches machsheves being lacking when there's no shir, doesn't that disqualify any shir malacha without a shir? Is that the case? And then we saw that he suggests that there is a sushtel to be made between Rashi's view and the Rambam's view, that Rashi holds there's an issur d'oraisa of chatzis shir, the Rambam apparently doesn't, because the Rambam says that he groups together carrying less than a shir and half an act of carrying, and he suggested that this parallels their views by Avos and Toldos, as seen in Malacha Zoreya, that according to his understanding of Rashi, it's Malacha plus intent, while according to Rambam it's completely machshava. So therefore machshava is enough by itself in the Rambam to make something into an av, and lacking a machshava makes it not a deraisa because it's totally definitional, while according to Rashi it's more of a relationship between the two, so you need both to have an av, and lacking machshava makes it still a malacha, it's still subject to an issa deraisa. We saw again that Tosfos and Ayin Gimel, which asks about why certain things mention Mishnah and certain things are not, approach many achronim such as the Magen Avos took, that those are malacha deficiencies as opposed to shear deficiencies, and as the Avnei Nezer had said, that there is a correlation that you need maleches machsheves, so lacking a shear is a lack in machsheves, lacking these things that Tosos identifies is a lack in maleches. And made reference also to the Machzah Shekel's comment about the fish being half killed, so to speak, and why the Marshag and others disagreed with that. And then we talked about the Klausenberger Rebbe's Tshuva, where he does support the Chacham Tzvi's view even within this Gemara, that first of all Gemara is specifically only talking about Afia, even in contrast to Bishul, because it's specifically a food malacha because of the Chacham Tzvi, and also the Medrash focusing on Kosev Os Echad is because that's an objective half, and for Chazal's roofing you'd half, and that's what's going on there, as opposed to here, which this is a Kol Chelev type of Chatzis Shir. And then we mentioned the Kajig Lev Rav, and other Acharon who maintain that there's no Psik Resha by Chatzis Shir, which is understood in the context of the Chacham Tzvi, that the Achshavei only applies if you're doing something on purpose, and if it's an inconsequential action that you're not trying to do, then you can't say there's Achshavei there. And then we also mentioned that the Lecha Mishnah asserts that even if there's no violation of the Losa Aseh, there is a violation of the Aseh of Shabbason, which is a word that links Yom Kippur and Shabbos, and we then spent a few minutes discussing the particular interaction this week of Yom Kippur and Shabbos with some thoughts to focus us on the day. It should be really a wonderful Gemar Chesima Tova. Thank you very much for this pre-Yantif Zman, this El Zman. Look forward very much to seeing you after Yantif. It should be Yantif of Bracha and Mazel. And when we come back, our agenda is immediately to jump into Malach Shin Tzrich Lagufa, probably Psegration together with it because of their relationship. And then to resume Malachas, go to Kotzer, and continue going in order from there. Shukarach.